Brethren, it's a privilege to be with you. We have so many precious memories of the Hope Convention. Growing up with Mark and a lot of the brethren over that way and getting to know you and the love of the truth is what binds us together, isn't it? That's why we're here. Love and greetings again. Big hug from your brethren from ABSCO. Many of them will be online. But what we'd like to do today is take a look at the Book of Lamentations. Quite truthfully, I did not know that much about the Book of Lamentations except for a few verses. And this was an assignment that we had to have for earlier this year for the Kampala Convention. And I had no idea how to approach Lamentations. So we took it to the Lord in prayer. And we asked the brethren, you know, I need help. And the brethren, this is their study too. And so what we'd like to do is share the collective wisdom of the brethren here that helped put this together. And hopefully it'll be a blessing for you. Now, Lamentations. Lamentations is, you will learn, like I did, God is a God of hope. Even in terrible trials, we have hope when we find them. This is the whole theme throughout the entire book of Lamentations. Now, this was written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was at the time of the destruction of the temple. He was preaching. Israel didn't pay any attention to him. The more he preached, the more he was mocked, the more he was ignored, the more he was persecuted. And he saw the destruction coming. He knew what was going to happen. And you will find that Jeremiah went into a very deep depression. And you will see that Jeremiah flips back and forth between his very depressed state. Then he snaps back and says, no, I have hope in God. So you will find this throughout the whole book of Lamentations, going back and forth. In context, the book of Lamentations, the big overview, chapter 1 is he's witnessing the fall of Jerusalem right before his very eyes. He's seen in chapter 2 the Lord's wrath upon Jerusalem. But then he snaps back. If you would, he goes back in chapter 3, hope amidst suffering. Then in chapter 4, the horrors of the siege. And then in chapter 5, he goes a plea for restoration. So this is the big overview of the book of Lamentations. Just give you an overview, even in terrible judgment, God is a God of hope. Lamentations 3, 24 and 25. No matter how far we have gone from him, we have hope that we can return to him and find a compensating and forgiving. 1 John 1:9. Our God is a God of love. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22. And because of his great love and compassion, God's faithfulness in Lamentations 3:23 and deliverance in verse 26 are attributes that give us a great hope and comfort. He is not a disinterested God, but a God who will deliver all those who turn to him, admit that they can do nothing to earn his favor, and call upon the Lord's mercy so that we will not be consumed in verse 23, or in verse 22. Brethren, remember, no matter how far, no matter how deep, no matter how difficult the experience, our God has a vested interest in us. He wants to see us make our calling and election sure. He wants us to be more than overcomers. He wants us to rely on him. He wants us to trust him no matter how deep our despair. I'm sure that many of our brethren are going through this experience or have gone through it. Utter despair. But remember, our Father, Abba Father, is always with us. God's mercy is always there for us, no matter how what we go through. This is our Father. He is not a disinterested God. He is interested in you and me on a very intimate basis. The precious promise of God's word, which are only for us, his people, those who are wholly his, give these very reason for hope, his promises. Why do we incorporate these promises in our lives? Why do we take them? Why do we claim them? Because they give us hope. They have full authority to be strong and good courage. Isn't it, brethren, when we read these promises and incorporate them into our faith structure, they give us the courage to be strong, to be giants when we're facing difficult foes. Give us courage to be overcome. Give us courage to carry on. If in the Father's providence, some of the circumstances connected with our earthly affairs turn in this way or that direction, our hearts should look to the Lord for the lesson to be drawn therefrom, and thus able to glorify God thereby. Remember, these experiences, the bottom line is that though they are difficult, in the end, they will always glorify God. Haven't we learned, brother, that through our experiences, we can see our Father? Without these experiences, I don't think we could see our Father. See his hand in our lives, the little affairs of life, and the great affairs of life. And what do we do when we're done with it? We hear it in testimony. We set up our Ebenezer stones and say, thus God has helped me. We glorify God for what he has done for us. The Christian should never view the experience as lucky or unlucky, but should remember that all things connected with him, if he be living close to the Lord, are ordered and directed of the Lord. Reprint Article 46:28. What a wise counsel our pastor gives us, that all our experiences are directed and ordered by our Father. That shows great love, doesn't it, brethren? That shows great compassion. Our Father is concerned for us to make our calling and election sure. He loves us so much that he gives us experiences to get rid of this dross, like we brought out in Malachi 3 yesterday, that it's the dross of the old nature that he wants us to get rid of. What the results? We are shiny gold, shiny jewels. Gold is refined in hot temperatures to get rid of the dross. That it is for our highest spiritual welfare that we go through these experiences. We learn as we are guided by the word of the Lord that they are able to be of good courage as they pursue their onward way. There are many difficulties to be surmounted. It also requires courage to surmount these difficulties. It is easy to give up. It is easy to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. But brethren, we're here. We persevered. By the courage and strength of the Lord, we overcome one inch at a time. Look where you were a year ago, or even this past memorial. Look how far you've come in becoming an overcomer. It requires courage to fight the world, doesn't it? It's difficult to be that speckled bird. It's difficult to stand alone when the popular opinion is going in a different direction from what we believe. But we have that courage, that we are able to summon our inner strength in the Lord and be able to overcome these difficulties. But the courage born of faith in God and His great, exceeding great and precious promises strengthens us when otherwise we might be overwhelmed. It gives them strength which all others are strangers. Brethren, we have this special relationship with our Father, that He hears our cause. Remember Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I will answer. Remember that. We cry. It gives us strength to be able to carry on. Also, brethren, I want to note, how important is our faith structure to us? We, every Sunday and during the week, I'm sure, we study the truth. But to incorporate this in our daily lives, to become part of us, gives us the strength to carry on. It gives us the why. Like right now in our class, we're studying the Gentile times. And we rejoice to see the reality of the image being smitten and being blown away. We rejoice that we are set, our feet are set on solid ground. Don't we rejoice that we, our eyes have been opened up to see our Lord reigning and a new kingdom is coming in? In addition, we get these overwhelming experiences, but because of our faith structure, it gives us hope, it gives us stability to be able to carry on when strength gives way. We'd like to focus on chapter 3. And if you want a theme text, look at Jeremiah or Lamentations 3:26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3:26. Look at Jeremiah and his experiences. Put yourself in his spot. You're seeing the world that he knew crumbling. You see people rejecting the word of the Lord. You see him standing alone proclaiming the truth. Brethren, can you relate to Jeremiah? Can you relate to his experiences? And this is a very faith strengthening text. It is good that a man should both hope. Don't we have the hope set before us, brethren, of the kingdom prospects, and wait quietly for the salvation of God? We know our faith reaches out no matter what happens around us in the world or the experiences we get. The kingdom will come. The church will be complete. We have that confidence and that faith that it will happen. Lamentations 3:14. Can you relate? Put yourself, when I was doing this, put yourself in Jeremiah's shoes and see how you can relate to this. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Jeremiah is, you can just feel his depression. He's getting like, this is too much. This is overwhelming. Verse 17, and though thou hast removed my soul far from peace, I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Brethren, can you feel Jeremiah's depression? Can you feel yourself in that spot at times? That all your hope is perished. The experiences you're having are so overwhelming. It's like no way, you see no way out. They are heavy. They are overwhelming. Verse 19, remember mine affliction and my misery and the wormwood and the gall. Now, does that sound familiar, brethren? Can you relate to our Lord also? In Matthew 27:34, and he gave me vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he could not drink. What's wormwood? The bitterness. The gall is a metaphor for bitterness, sorrow, sin, judgment. So you feel Jeremiah just overwhelmed, bitterness, just despair. But then we look at verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Verse 21. Jeremiah snaps back. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Remember, Jeremiah never let go of his faith, brethren. He had hope because of what he believed. He believed in what God told him. Brethren, can't we relate to this? That our faith structure should be so strong that no matter how overwhelming the experiences, we still have that hope. God never lets go of us through these experiences. Never, ever. Can we relate to Paul? 2 Corinthians 4:8. Are we troubled on every side? A lot of us are. Yet, not distressed. Are we perplexed? Sometimes we are. But not in despair. Chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. Remember, it's the new creature that is being strengthened and rewarded. Not the old creature, the flesh, but the new creature. We are renewed and we are strengthened day by day. When our faith reaches out and claim these promises and reach out in faith, in prayer, saying, Father, you are my Father. You are my deliverer. You are my help through our Lord Jesus. Verse 17, Paul's perspective on his experiences, and I'm sure we're all aware of where Paul enumerates his experiences, you know, false brothers, shipwrecks, stonings, beatings. He lists quite a few of them. But Paul's perspective for our light affliction, which is but for what? Not forever, but for a moment, short time. Put it in perspective, brethren. The experiences we go through, the difficult ones, are only going to last a short time when we compare it to our lifetime and then project it out for eternity. It's very small. And what does it do? It worketh for us a far more and exceeding weight of eternal weight of what? Glory. How do we view our experiences, brethren? Are we always downtrodden? Are we always negative about these experiences? Or do we look at it from the perspective of Paul looked at it? Light afflictions. I'm thinking it's not easy when you're in the experience to call it light, especially when they're overwhelming. But in time, we will learn and look at it as light afflictions, like what Paul did. And for a moment. And look at what the purpose is to work out for us an eternal weight of glory. To develop that new creature. To get rid of the dross and the negative characteristics that we have. And input more Christ-likeness. One has to go. And as we develop, we see how God is working in us. And remember, brethren, these experiences that we get look at them as gifts from God. Why? Because he loves us. He will always take care of us. He's our father. He's daddy dearest. Abba father. A father will never, ever, a good father will never, ever beat down his son, but do what he can to help uplift him. In verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. The things that are seen are but temporal. Keep focused, brethren, focused on the things that are eternal. Are we being developed for kingly and priestly honors? Are our experiences to develop in us to be that sympathetic high priest? Remember, the experiences we go through are no different than what our neighbors go through. But our perspective, in your perspective, it's to develop in us, one, a kingly office, but also to be that sympathetic high priest. Who else is the world going to relate to? Have you ever thought of that? When we make our calling and election sure, think in terms of you'll be able to relate to, and the world will be able to relate to you, of all the experiences that we go through. Think in terms of that experiences are meant to be helpful to people in the world, to help each other. I've often thought, even in the body of Christ, we have what I think as a buddy. We always have somebody that's gone through the same experience or similar than what we have. That way we can help each other along this narrow way. Remember always, brethren, you are never ever alone in your experiences. The Lord will always provide a help. Always. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, when Paul was asked to have his eyesight restored, look at Paul's perspective. And God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our Father is developing us that through this experiences, what will the world see? They will see Christ's likeness. They will see God's grace upon you. They will see God's blessing upon you. Paul's perspective. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Remember Paul's perspective. He wanted to glorify his heavenly Father through Jesus. That no matter what came to him, he was weak, but yet he rested in his faith. His faith never ever wavered through all his experiences. Brethren, can we, our faith be so strong or developed? Trust. I think that's one of the lessons I've learned from this is trusting in our Father. Trusting that he is always supervising in the little things and great things and the overwhelming things in our lives. He was always there. And we need to just reach out in faith and say, Father, I need help. And he provides. We've all experienced that, haven't we, brethren? Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we glory this is again Paul's perspective on this. You know, I look at myself and say, I wish I could get to that level, like of Paul glorying in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh, and here's the benefit of the tribulations. Worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in which our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. See the progression here, Father, brethren? Without tribulations, how would we know our Father? How would we know our Lord Jesus? And it develops in us the patience and experience, the patience under trials. And what does it do? It gives us hope. It gives us hope. Let tribulation have its perfect work. By no other way can we develop Christ's likeness. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptations with coming to you which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that which you are able. Our Father knows us. He knows how far to stretch us. He knows what experiences we need. They only go so far, because the love of our Father is such that He does not want us to break us, but wants to develop us into that beautiful Christ-likeness new creature. But with the temptation, also makes a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Haven't we experienced this, brethren? All through our experience, if we are in tuned and looking for the Lord's overruling in our experiences, we will see that He will always provide a way out, a way of escape. Remember that our Father is always faithful. He knows us so well that He will never, ever give us more than what we can handle or bear. What a loving Father that we have, brethren. God is faithful. Faithfulness on our part is also required. Remember, it's a two-way street. We have to exhibit faith and trust that our Father knows best. We glory in tribulation because we realize that the Lord will be near us while we endure faithfully. This is Rep 32:81. God is always with us. We endure faithfully. Okay. The Father knows just how much we can stand or permit. He knows just how far to take us. That instead of saying being tempted, stay tested. He may suffer us to stumble, but so long as we trust, here again that word comes up again, trust in Him, He will not suffer us to be utterly cast down. We trust, just like a little baby, or like our little grandkids, Isaac and Beatrice, they trust their mom and dad that they will take care of them. They trust that mommy and daddy will overrule, will not let anything harmful come to them. But with their experiences, they know just how far to take it. And isn't that just like our Father? We trust to the point that no matter how difficult, our Father is always there. That ye are able, that what we are able to bear, to resist and to overcome our experiences. The furnace heat will never be permitted to grow so intense that the precious gold of our character shall be destroyed or even injured. Remember that goldsmith, that picture in Malachi again. A good goldsmith just knows how far to go to get rid of the dross and impurities of that gold. And isn't that with our Father? He knows just how far to turn up the heat or give us the experiences. We can bend, but our Father never wants to destroy or injure us. Never, ever. With the temptation, or put it, the trial or difficulty, the Lord allows the storms to press us more and more so that we will cry unto Him, that He will hear us and He will give us the necessary deliverance. Isn't that what our Father wants us to do? Cast your cares on Him. Why? Because He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. We all know that. But do we do it? All the cares that we experience, are we in that communication with our Father? He will make a way, provide a way. Will open a way at the very moment when strength and endurance should fail, not through lack of the desire to do the Lord's will, but through the weakness of the flesh. Remember, our Father is so wise and so loving towards us. He knows our flesh. We know He knows we are weakness. And part of our lessons, our experiences, aren't we to be taught that? That our flesh, there is no good thing. That our flesh can't do the things that we want to do. Our Father knows this. So He compensates for us. His love is too great for us to break us. And He will always provide the moment of strength when we need it. God delivers from those things which could prove to be too weighty for us. He knows just how far to go. He supervises our interest. Brethren, our Father has a vested interest in us. You know, in the stock market and all that, they put money in, they want an investment on their return. Well, I often thought, doesn't our Father an interest? He wants to see a return on investment. He is investing His time and energy in us. And it pleases our Father when He sees us grow, overcome, rejoicing, develop that faith structure, develop that Christ-likeness. Just like with a parent, with a child, they see the child grow, learn, and overcome their little experiences. But I will not forget you. A mother and child's bond is a beautiful thing. The compassion that the mother has towards the child. The world may forget us, brethren. Our neighbors may forget us. But God said, I will not forget you. You are special to Him. You are the apple of His eye. You are a son of God. You have that special relationship with our Father, Father-Son relationship, Abba, Father. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courageous. Brethren, I think Peter is saying here, the compassion and the love we have for fellow new creatures. Love as brethren. Is our love and compassion one another just like Jesus did? Just like God is doing for us? having that compassion one with another. Who understands what we go through and why we go through it, except for fellow new creatures? Your neighbors don't. They may see what we go through. Our work associates may see what we go through, but do they understand the why of what we go through? Only fellow new creatures. As Jesus is our yoke bearer, He is along with us in our journey. We have each other to help carry our loads and our burdens. I am convinced that we have, as Jesus had James, Peter, and John. Don't we, brethren, have our James, Peter, and John? Don't we have those that can relate to us, that are well known to us and we to them, that we don't have to speak, we just understand each other? Develop and cultivate this oneness with each other, brethren. Because as time goes on, as we see the dark night all around us, we need each other. We need to have that same bond of love towards each other. Because we all know the experiences are going to get more and more intense. We have each other. We have that same understanding and perspective of our experiences. Enjoy each other. Develop each other. Help each other along this narrow way. Jeremiah and Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. Now his faith is taking hold. Brethren, isn't our hope based on trials and difficulties? Don't they develop trust, faith, and hope? Isn't that the essence of what we go through and why we go through it? My portion, Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look at King David. He can confidently say this. In 142 verse 5, I cried to thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. If we found a refuge in our Father, in whosoever thine eyes desire, I keep not from them. I will withheld not my heart from my joy, from my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this is my proportion of all my labor. We rejoice, and God never withhold any of His promises. Jeremiah says in chapter 3, verse 26, it is beneficial for a person to both anticipate and patiently wait the deliverance of the Lord. Brethren,